I know this is a different time for all of us. It's been a little hectic this last week as your staff was trying to figure out how do we go forward in a time as this. First of all, the announcements came from the CDC and then the president about limiting the size of crowds that can gather together. And then our local officials in Greene County came out with guidelines. And I'll be honest with you, at first, I didn't want to shut down. I'm a little old school type of guy. And I was like, you know what? They're not going to shut the doors to our church. They're going to have to come out and arrest me if they want us to lock our doors. But God spoke to me and I learned something. The best way to love people, the best way to minister to people is when they are vulnerable, when they are hurting. And so I think during this time when people are hurting that we've got to adapt. We've got to learn how to minister to people at this time. So I'm glad that you have joined us this morning as we worship together. Now, as hard as it is for us not to meet together on Sundays and on Wednesdays, I'll be honest, I just love what we do in this place. I love interacting with you. I love getting to preach. But we can still do some of those things, okay? Now, listen to me real close this morning. My desire is not to speak into this camera this morning. My desire is to speak through this camera, okay? It's going to be just like I'm right there with you in your living room there this morning, because I'm going to come right through this camera and I'm going to sit down in your home with you this morning. And as I bring a little message this morning, I'm going to be watching. I will know if you get up and go to the bathroom, so don't be doing that, okay? Keep your attention right here this morning. I'm just going to speak for you about 15, 20 minutes and then we will be done, okay? You know, Satan, I saw this on Facebook the other day, said Satan had a plan. He said, I'm going to cause anxiety and fear and panic. I'm going to shut down the businesses. I'm going to close the schools. I'm going to close the places of worship. I'm going to stop the sporting events. And I'm going to cause all kinds of economic turmoil. But Jesus just looked back at him and grinned and said, hold on, hang on a minute. Let me just tell you what I'm going to do. Jesus said, I'm going to bring neighbors back together. I'm going to restore the family unit. I'm going to bring back the dinner at the kitchen table. I'm going to help people to slow down their lives and learn to appreciate again what really matters. I'm going to teach my children to rely on me. Don't be trusting in your money or material resources. And Jesus said, I'm going to bring peace through this. But listen to me. I don't mean to minimize what we're going through. But I believe God can get good out of this situation. I think there's some good things going to happen. Well, if you have your Bible with you, turn them to the book of Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. And you know, that brings assurance to me this morning, because if Jesus could feed the multitudes with just 3 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, I believe He can take care of us here today. Right after that, Jesus, after He's fed the 5,000, He'll put the disciples on the ship, send them on across the little Sea of Galilee there, and then He departs up into a mountain to pray. Now, I love that. We are a people that believe in prayer. Amen? You can say amen right there at home, okay? We are a people that believe in prayer. Scripture says the disciples traveled across the sea until it was almost morning, and the waves were blowing contrary against them. And I'm not sure really how big of a storm that it was, but it was big enough that they were concerned. There was some anxiety. The waves were boisterous, the Scripture says. I'm sure they had to be a little frightened, and they were a little uneasy at this time. Now, you're probably familiar with the story. Jesus comes walking on the water during the night there. And then there's the story how Peter will get out of the boat and go walk on the water with him. Now, we've heard hundreds of messages on this passage of Scripture. We've preached about the passion of Peter. We've preached about Peter walking on the water. We've talked about the other 11 that stayed in the boat. But I want you to notice something else that I believe is very applicable to today. Okay? Let's read the story together. Matthew chapter 14. Let's start reading in verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus went into them walking on the sea. And verse number 26, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Why, it's a spirit!" And they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was frightened and beginning to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me! Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, when we read this story 2,000 years later, we might be tempted to say, you know, what are they so afraid of? I mean, this is ridiculous. Jesus is coming to them on the water there. But now, let's be honest. You and I wasn't in the boat. If we had been in the boat, we'd have been scared too. Let's just be honest. Jesus said, take courage in the middle of the storm. He said, it's me. Here I am. And Peter said, now, Lord, is that really you? And Jesus said, yes, that's me. Come. And he said to Peter, come. Now, we've always talked about Peter walked on the water, okay? We've heard hundreds of messages on that subject. And that's what we talk about when we read this story. But listen to me this morning. I'm going to play with your mind a little, okay? I don't think Peter walked on the water. Peter did not walk on the water. You know what I think Peter did? Instead of walking on the water, I think Peter was walking on the authority of the Word of Jesus. Now think about this, okay? When Jesus told Peter, said, come. It was that word from Jesus. When Jesus said, come, that's what caused Peter to get out of the boat. That's what caused him to start walking across the water. He put his faith and trust in the words of Jesus. See, we understand men cannot walk on water, okay? We understand that. But listen to me today. We can walk on the authority of the Word of God. Now, we can learn something there today. There are a lot of things that we're trying to walk through right now. A lot of things we're trying to get through during this time. And we're finding it hard to get through some of those things, okay? But we've got to learn right now to stand on the firm upon God and His Word. Peter got out and he walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. And here's what I want you to see. In verse number 30, it says, And when Peter, when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Now, we've read that like hundreds of times, and we're yelling, yeah, Peter saw the wind and he was afraid. Now, let's be honest today, okay? Can you see the wind? You can't see the wind. Or you can see the effects of the wind. You can see the impacts of the wind. You can see what the wind is doing. But you can't really see the wind. Now, today we're dealing with a similar situation, okay, with the coronavirus. We can only see the impact. Okay, the effects that it is having. You can see the impact of the wind. You can see what the wind is doing. You can't see the wind. Okay, today we're looking at the impact of the coronavirus. Now we're seeing the pandemic, all the impact that it is making. Now I wish I could see coronavirus 19. I wish I could see it so I could stay away from it, but it's invisible. Now, here's the problem, okay? If we're not careful, we put our eyes on that which is invisible. We put our eyes on that the effects of that virus. And in turn, what we do is we focus on that. We focus on all the panic and all of the hysteria. And all of the worry and all of the anxiety that have to do with the effects. You see, when we take our eyes off Jesus, we get in trouble. Jesus asks us to come and to walk on the water. Jesus wants us to trust Him. He wants us to know that He's a firm foundation. He wants us to know that He will lift us out of our circumstances. He wants us to know He will never leave us nor forsake us. He wants us to know that we can be the victors and not the victim. He wants us to trust Him. And if we will, nothing can be against us. See, don't look at the effects of what's going on with the wind. We need to keep our focus on the Savior. I've listened to several different preachers and their suggestions as we get through all of this. And I'd like to just take the next few minutes and give you some practical things and then come back and wrap it up with this story again. Practical things right now, okay? Learn to laugh. You know, laugh at yourself. Laugh at life. Laugh at circumstances. Laugh together as a family. If you have not noticed it already, you get locked up in that house with you and your spouse and the kids, things are going to get a little tense every now and then. You better learn to laugh. See, now Scripture says, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. We're in a season right now that is tough. And if we don't engage with those around us and learn to laugh and have a good time, this is going to get the best of us. Some of you have found yourself in the role of being a homeschool teacher, something you've never done before. You're a little out of your comfort zone. I saw on Facebook, with all the homeschooling going on now, said, just like that, prayer and spanking is back in the school. Some of you parents know what I'm talking about. I read somebody else posted on Facebook. They were having to school their kids at home. They said, only 1 week now of homeschooling, 2 kids have already been expelled for fighting, and the teacher's been fired for drinking on the job. Now, come on now, we've got to learn to laugh. We need a little humor at this time. Second thought, just a practical thing, okay? Use this time to teach. A lot of people are worried, what's going to happen to my kids? They're out of school for a week, for 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. Some schools are even just going online. They're not going to be meeting back again for the rest of the semester. People are afraid my kids aren't going to get the education they need. I think it was Deidre posted on Facebook, use this time to teach your kids. And she had some funny things she was talking about there. But parents, you can use this time while the kids at home to teach them some things. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to change the oil in the car. Teach them how to do the laundry. Teach them how to respect others. Teach them how to sew on a button. Teach them how to balance a checkbook. Teach them how to plant a garden. See, not all the learning has to be in the classroom. At the same time, you can also spend some time with your kids and teach them spiritual things in the home as well. See, parents, don't rely on the church to do all the teaching of your kids spiritually. You know, in the Old Testament, it many times it said, teach these things to your children. And we as parents have a job to teach our own children. So use this time to teach your kids some things. Practical thought number three, okay? During this time, learn to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. Don't be the hands of Jesus. Not unless, at least you washed them, okay? Then I guess you'd be all right. Learn to be the feet of Jesus, the hands of Jesus, okay? There are a lot of ways you can do that. A lot of ways you can love people and reach out to them. You can text them. You can call them. Many of you have already started receiving calls this week from our board, our leadership team. We have taken the church and we've selected each one. Each one of them has so many members, they're going to be calling, checking on you. Is there anything you need? Is there any way we can minister to you? Or do you have anything that you need that the church could help you with? No doubt these are going to be troubling days ahead of us. They're going to be struggles. We want you to know, your pastoral staff, the leadership team, we are here for you. Okay? They're going to be struggles. You can let us know if there's a way we can minister to you. But you know what? You can minister to others as well. You can call them. You can text them. You can reach out to them on social media. I'm friends with our neighbors on Facebook. I sent them messages this week, said I'm praying for you. And if you're at home and if you need something, let us know. Connie and I are here for you. You can do it with your family and your friends and your neighbors. See, a lot of people are concerned about how they're going to get through this. I got to thinking about the children of Israel when they left Egypt and they headed to the Promised Land. There was 40 years that they went through there in the wilderness. And I got to thinking, wow, how is God going to feed 2 million people in the wilderness for 40 years? I mean, duh, I can understand if there was a price cutter down the street. You know what would have happened. 2 million people would have went down there and bought out all that toilet paper in a matter of minutes, and there wouldn't be anything left. You know, that's the way it is. When one person panics, everybody panics. Let me tell you what happened. We're all worried about how we're going to make it. So think about the children of Israel for a minute. 40 years, 2 million of them in the wilderness, 120-degree heat, without anything to eat. God told them, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. Every morning He sent manna. Every evening He sent manna. There are times He sent quail. You know the story. And today there's a lot of people right here in Greene County. We're worried, how are we going to make it? How are we going to live? How are we going to have enough? Let me tell you, God's got this. God's got this, okay? Just stay faithful. Let me encourage you to stay generous towards each other. Stay wise. Just use common sense. I like what Grandma used to say. Grandma used to say, if common sense was large, some people wouldn't have enough to grease a skillet. You know what? If anything, times like this have proven that common sense is uncommon in our culture. You know what? Just use some common sense and be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Practical thought number four. Stay wise. Use good hygiene. Wash your hands. You know, we should have been doing that all along. This is crazy that we have to tell people, go wash your hands now. People, I saw somebody post on Facebook, people are doing so good with washing their hands now. Next week we're learning to color in the lines. You know what? Just stay wise. Use good hygiene. Practical thought number five, and this is where I want to just wrap it up for a minute. Stay here just a minute. I heard a preacher online talking about some things. Just, wow, just sparked so many thoughts. Okay? Practical thought number five, we may be in a state of isolation, but don't get isolated. See, social, I like Pastor Carter said, social distancing that we practice does not mean that we practice social isolation, okay? Some parts of our country are in shelter in place right now, and that may come for us in Greene County, we don't know. We may have to be in isolation, but listen to me, do not become isolated. I'm going to challenge you to stay connected with others. I appreciate what Craig was doing for our men's crew yesterday. When we have our regular schedule of men's crew, he's doing live video chats. Men, you can join us online there and have video chat for a few moments. Our children's ministry, Leslie this morning, has some things she's going to share with you at the close of the service. They're doing some special things. They'll be posting things for your kids. Your kids are out of school. They're bored. There's nothing to do. You watch on our Facebook pages and our groups, and Leslie's going to be posting some things for them there each day. Our leadership team is going to be writing daily devotions for you. You know, right now we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay close to God. And so our leadership team is going to be posting devotions for you each day. There is a correlation, I believe, between what's happening in the spirit now and what's happening in the natural. And here's what I want you to understand when you look at Scripture, okay? A lot of times we see when people got afraid, they went and they hid in caves, okay? And they became isolated. There are a lot of examples of men in the Bible, even men of faith, got scared and got afraid and they went and hid in the caves. Now, caves, listen to me, are not a place that we choose to live, but it's a place we are often chased into. A lot of people right now are being chased into isolation. People are living in a cave. And see, the problem is Satan will take you and he'll put you in isolation. He'll put you in that cave because he wants to break you and break your spirit. You understand the Scripture says that Satan is like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Do you ever see the videos, the TV programs where a lion or a predator will actually try to attack a herd and he'll take the weakest member of the herd and try to isolate them so he can overtake them and he can destroy them? And I'm afraid that's what's going to happen right now in America. A lot of people are going into isolation because they are afraid. And when you get in isolation, the enemy now is going to be talking to your mind. He's going to try to get in your head to discourage you, to get you down. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God wants to bring you out of your cave, out of your loneliness, out of your depression, out of your isolation. You take a prisoner when they lock him up. Sometimes they will put him in isolation, in solitary confinement. And they do that so they can break them. Now that prisoner may be able to take all kinds of punishment, all kinds of pain, or even torture. But there's something about solitary confinement that will destroy them. Because man was meant to dwell with other people. To have fellowship with others. Some of you are retreating to a cave. I don't care what kind of cave you may find yourself in this morning, one of depression, one of anxiety, one of worry, one of concern, one of bitterness. Whatever cave you're living in this morning, you cannot stay there. You were not designed to be a cave dweller. You know, you can go back to the caves where cavemen used to live, and they have found them there. And those cavemen wrote drawings on the wall there. They recorded what happened. Listen to this for a moment, okay? People who live in caves only record history. They do not make history. Listen to me. God designed you to make history. He designed you to do incredible things. Now, you may be living in a cave for a season. There was a time when Joshua was chasing five kings and he chased them into a cave. You better be careful if you run into a cave somewhere, because the Bible said when Joshua caught those men that he got there and he found them in the cave and he rolled a stone up in front of the cave, and that cave literally became their prison. And understand this morning, it's just not about quarantine. It's because a cave is not just about location. Cave is a mindset. Cave is a mentality that you have. When Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation and the slaves were freed, a lot of them wouldn't leave the plantation because they could not wrap their mind around the fact that they were now freed. See, they were free on paper, but they stayed close to the plantation because they were not free in their mind yet. Some of you in your mind are in a cave today. You're in isolation. Listen to me. Some of you have built walls around yourself. You've created your own cave. You built walls around yourself to protect you. Because you're not going to let people hurt you anymore. You're not going to let people let you down anymore. You're not going to let people get close to you. And you've put up walls to build a distance between you and those around you because you think you're protecting yourself. Let me be honest with you. In doing that, you have built your own prison. Some of you are living in a prison that you built that you thought was going to protect you, because you're not going to be vulnerable to anyone. Listen to me. If you cannot be vulnerable, you cannot love. Love means being vulnerable to others. So remember this. You got to come out of your cave. The Bible said Joshua chased those kings and they went into the cave. The cave became their prison. And then they were slaughtered and they were killed there. They were buried in the same cave they were hiding in. And if we're not careful, our cave can become our grave. It's about this morning whether you choose to stay there or whether you choose to come out and to leave and saying, you know what, I'm going to make myself vulnerable. I'm going to love again. Even in moments of isolation, we all have times in the cave. In the moments of loneliness, remember, you were not designed to live in a cave. I challenge you, don't get isolated at this time. Use this time to build a relationship, first of all, with God. God has something greater for your life, something bigger for your life. Something larger for your life than just the current circumstances we're going through. But you have to be willing to open your mind to what God wants you to do. In the next few weeks, whatever it is that we are in isolation or we're more set just a huddle in place, shelter in place, spend some time with God. Say, God, what is your direction for my life? Doesn't matter how long the quarantine lasts. Develop your late relationship with God. You can reach out to others and develop that relationship with them. This is a time you as a family can build relationships that will change your family forever. Let me give you this and then I close. Savannah, you come. Noah was in the valley and he built the ark down in the valley. Then God sent the storm. When the storm comes, a lot of people curse the storm. They curse the issues. They curse the circumstances, what's going around them. But after the storm, you know what happened? That ark that started out in the valley rested on top of Mount Ararat. You see this? God literally elevated Noah and took him to a new height, to a new level. And He used the storm to do it. I want to encourage you today to allow God to use the storms to wash through your life and to lift you to a higher level right now. Get in the Word at this time. Let's not fear, but let's increase our faith. Faith says, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, just as Jesus came to the disciples when they were in the boat door there and the storm was raging, no doubt they were frightened and worried and stressed and had anxiety, but He said to them, come. Peter stepped out and he walked on the Word of God. Let's do the same thing. 2 Timothy 2:17, but God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Join us Wednesday night as we talk about this verse. Use this time now that we have in your relationship with God. Stay connected, even if you're isolated, and reach out to others. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I know that there's not a whole lot of folks here in the auditorium, but you at home there, I want you to take some time. I want you to take some time and have some prayer with God. Again, we're going to take just a short break, and we're going to come back. I love the song that the praise team is going to do for us this morning. We don't have to worry about uncertain days because He lives. We'll take just a break, and we'll be back.